Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. We prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnson, with today's guest.
Hi, my name is Keith Newman. I have the privilege of serving as the president of Southern Nazarene University in Bethany, Oklahoma, which is a suburb of Oklahoma City. Now, I'm a 1986 graduate of Houston Baptist University and a proud graduate. I talk about the HBU on a regular basis, which may seem kind of crazy, but I love Christ-centered higher education, and I have great confidence about Dr. Sloan and the administration at HBU and the great work that they're doing there in Houston, Texas. Houston's my hometown. I grew up there, went to middle school. In those days, we called it junior high and high school. Graduated from Northbrook High School out in the Spring Branch area. I grew up in a single parent family. And when it came time to choose a place for higher education, Houston Baptist University really offered an opportunity for me to be able to live at home. In those days, HBU was really more of a commuter school. International students, athletes lived on campus. I went to HBU my freshman year. I hope that none of the faculty members from those days are listening to this, because they may look back and think, boy, we didn't think that guy was going to amount to anything. My GPA was not very good. I was probably one of those students that really could have used a year of seasoning or 2 years of seasoning, maybe going off to the military or something like that. But I didn't do that. I went my freshman year. Between my freshman year and my sophomore year, I worked around a bunch of guys who had been recruited to come to Houston to be police officers. And there was a bit of a squabble between the city controller and the mayor, and they didn't release the money for the police academy class. And so these men and women in Houston needed a job. They went to work for the company that I was working for that summer, and they encouraged me to join the police department. And I said, well, I'm in school. I'm studying for ministry. I'm going to Houston Baptist University. And they said, yeah, but you're working multiple jobs, and it doesn't sound like that's an easy thing for you to do. Why don't you just get one good job? So a bit of a fleece, I prayed about it. And my prayer was something like this: Lord, if you want me to be a Houston police officer, then you let me get accepted. In those days, you could apply at 19, and I was 19 that summer. So I applied and I got admitted. And so instead of going back to school for my sophomore year at HBU, I went to the Houston Police Department and went to the police academy and made it through the police academy. Graduated, did what most police officers do, was assigned to the night shift, working radio patrol. And so here I am as a 19-year-old on the streets of Houston, serving as a Houston police officer. I did that for a couple of years and then went to the juvenile division and did that for a year. And then I got promoted and became a detective, ultimately a sergeant in the homicide division. And so I had the opportunity to investigate murders and sexual assaults there in the homicide division. And during that period of time, I went back to school as a police officer, and so attended HBU. And that's why my path to a degree was a little bit longer than it was for most people. Met my wife at the Houston Police Department. Always said that I was not going to marry anybody that was a police officer, and I wasn't going to marry anybody that was as tall as I am. And my wife is tall. She's 6 foot tall. I'm 6 foot tall. You know, when you fall in love, all of that kind of goes out the window. So Carolyn and I will celebrate 39 years of marriage this fall, November. She ended up serving for 24 years with the Houston PD. I've got a brother and a brother-in-law that served there and retired from there as well. When I finished my 9 years and I got my degree from HBU, I entered the ministry, which had been the plan all along. And so I was in pastoral ministry for 17 years. I pastored in Arkansas, then came back to Houston, pastored First Church of the Nazarene in Houston out on the Sam Houston Tollway. Had the privilege of actually being a part of building that complex out there. Made great friends along the way, including Dr. Ed Hodo, who was the president at HBU for a number of years. He and I served with Dr. John Bisogno in helping found Houston Christian High School. Again, another great asset to the city of Houston, and just developed, you know, wonderful friendships there. Later pastored in San Diego, California, and then entered Christian higher education. I served for 7 years at Mount Vernon Nazarene University as a vice president, and then moved from there to Indiana Wesleyan University, where again, I was a vice president and eventually the chancellor there. Mentioned that married Carolyn, she's also an HBU graduate. We didn't know each other when she was at HBU and I was at HBU. So that was just something that we discovered along the way when we began to date. We have two children, adult children, both married, and then two grandkids. Our grandkids, their parents live in Houston, and our daughter and her husband live in the Austin area. I came to be the president at Southern Nazarene University 4 years ago. And so I'm in what I call my senior year at SNU. And we're a small, Christ-centered, liberal arts education university here again in Oklahoma City. Enrollment's about 2,300, and about half of those students are here on campus. And half of those students are what we call adult students, or they're involved in what we call the professional and graduate studies program. And so it's just a pleasure to be with you here today, Dr. Johnston. Thanks for the privilege and the opportunity.
Well, Dr. Newman, I mean, what an incredible career. I mean, as you look in the rearview mirror of your life, I mean, God was shaping you during that time at the HPD, wasn't he? I can only imagine the many valuable lessons you learned about interfacing with people and the challenges of personalities, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, what was that like?
Well, I will tell you, it was scary to begin with. Again, as a 19-year-old working in parts of town that I had never been in before, I would go home in the morning sometime with headaches just from looking at street signs all night long, because I wanted to make sure I knew where we were. And you're right, it taught me a lot about human nature. One of the challenges, I think, for all police officers is that they're exposed to some of the most negative parts of our culture and our life. And you know, people typically don't call police officers when good things are happening in their life. You know, it's generally a negative encounter, whether you're being stopped for a traffic violation, or your house has been burglarized, or your child has run away from home, or a lot worse things too. But you're right about the fact that I think God uses everything in our life to prepare us for what's next. And though it wouldn't have been probably the way that I would have dreamed it up or the way that I would have planned it, I do believe Psalm 139, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. I think some people are more fearfully and some people are more wonderfully made, but that part is true. He does ordain for us all the days of our life. And I think that that metaphor that you've seen before and heard before, that, you know, sometimes the needle point looks like a mess when we're looking on the back side of it, but the other side, you know, God's weaving something beautiful. And so no doubt about it, those were great years. They were formative years. They were years that I think prepared me and helped me in future assignments.
You are in the middle of Christian higher ed at Southern Nazarene University. And, you know, obviously the path there, you were exposed to some great schools and Indiana Wesleyan and the previous one you served at. A lot of challenges for Christian higher ed. Dr. Sloan, our executive counsel here at HBU, we're watching very closely the Equality Act and the potential implications of that. As it relates to higher ed, the terrain today has a lot of things hitting it. We have the pandemic, we have the cultural downslide, and yet the mission of Christian higher ed has probably never been more important. What is some of your observations about where we are at this point in history?
Well, these are challenging times. I try and remind myself and my leadership team on a regular basis. We were chosen for this time. We we did not pick to be serving in this particular season. And it would be easy to look back and, you know, maybe choose a different season. But I also think about what would it have been like to have been leading an institution of Christian higher education during the Depression or during World War II or, you know, during the conflict in the 60s with the Vietnam War and, you know, all that we had going on in our culture. So, you know, at some level, there's never been an easy time, but certainly it does feel like these days that there's maybe more losses than wins. In the midst of all of that, I believe God has called us to be salt and light, and God has called us for this particular season. You know, you hit the nail on the head, I believe, and that is, it's about the mission. So it's easy to become frustrated and flustered, and I'm at the front of that list. I'm not the most patient person, something I pray about on a regular basis. But when I find myself there, maybe distracted by what's going on in culture, I come back to, you know, what is the mission? So for us here at SNU, the mission is to make Christ-like disciples through higher education. We're an extension of the church. We're an extension of the work that has begun, hopefully, in families. But we're also a place of light, because a lot of the students that come to us are coming maybe for reasons other than seeking a Christian education. They're coming because they want to play basketball or football or golf or volleyball or any of the 17 sports that we offer here. And so it does give us the opportunity, again, to talk about Jesus. And as I interview faculty, interview staff, I always want to make sure that they understand that we talk about Jesus a lot here. And if that's not who's a part of your life, then you probably aren't going to enjoy, you know, being a part of serving here. For students, we're not a confessional school, so we don't require a statement of faith from students, but we do require respect for our lifestyle covenant. And so we're going to try and keep focusing on our mission and our values and be confident in the fact that this is not our place. It belongs to the Lord, and he's going to help us through this season.
You know, in the 200 plus podcasts that I've had the privilege to film, just a variety of faculty, alumni, and all the influencers that come through our doors, it's interesting to me that unsolicited and without communicating to one another, I've heard the word family used so many times of people saying, this is what my experience was like at HBU. It was like I was part of a family. And people cared. I wasn't a number. I think reflecting to the larger universities that one could go to. It's interesting, but you can't buy certain things in life. We know we can't buy friendship. We can't buy family. What was your experience like at HBU? And how did God use that experience for this unique leadership opportunity you have now, not just at Southern Nazarene University, but the other universities with other presidents that you're interfacing with and ministering to as well?
Well, great question. We had a group of guidance counselors, high school guidance counselors on campus today for a full morning. I had a chance to speak to them. I talked to them about this whole idea of intersections. Again, as a police officer, I came to have a healthy respect and sometimes a fear of intersections. There's a lot of bad things that happen in intersections. People fail to stop at stop signs or red lights. I believe that intersections provide us some great moments too. You know, in God's providence, he sends people into our life that help us create some pivot points in our life. And, you know, for me, honestly, HBU provided that. I think back on professors that I had that they loved me when I probably wasn't particularly lovable. I can remember a couple of different instances where professors asked me to stay after class. You know, it's not a great thing when a teacher ever asks you to stay after class. But though each professor handled that in a different way, those were intersections, pivotal moments in my life, something that I would not have received at university where I was in a classroom with 250 or 300 people. You know, Dr. A.O. Collins, boy, what a blessing he was. Again, I was a Nazarene boy going to a Baptist school.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he loved me and cared about me and was interested in what I was doing and where I was going. Dr. Newell Boyd, I was a history major. In those days, I don't know whether it's still true, but you had to have a double major. So I was a history and a Christianity major. I just think about the fact that the professors all along the way, Dr. Brooke Tucker, I hope I'm getting these names right, Dr. James Taylor, not the musician, but the communications professor, you know, they were all people that I just knew that they cared about me. And so I was a part of a community, and quite frankly, it helped me fall in love with this whole idea of the integration of faith and learning, the marriage, if you will, of faith and learning. I think it's so important and certainly shaped me and molded me and I believe prepared me. I was thinking a little bit about in preparation for this conversation today, thinking back on chapels and convocations. Again, in those days we met in the gym. Wasn't the most comfortable place. I still remember Dr. Charles Allen. I don't really know that name, but Dr. Sure. Allen was, you know, First Methodist Church. He was, I think, the opening day chapel speaker in the gym somewhere along my journey. And he was older at that time, quite a bit older. I won't speculate on what his age was, but I remember thinking to myself, I wouldn't want to be him. I wouldn't want to be speaking to all of these college students opening chapel at his age. And you could have heard a pin drop in there as he had us all in the palm of his hands. I can still tell you a story that he told that day. I can still tell you about what his message was about that day. And all of that was, again, being a part of a Christian community, something that, you know, MasterCard, you know, gives the priceless commercials. And for me, it really was priceless.
You know, when we look at America right now, we see secularism on the rise. We see religious disaffiliation, this demographic referred to as nuns that Pew and the GSS has been tracking on the increase. And I think that without being critical of the church, there's no question that we've got to cognitively engage people around that commandment Jesus gave that the university fulfills to love God with all your heart, soul, but your mind. Would you speak for a moment just how important Christian universities are in that complement to the local church and what could be to stem, to at least address, you know, too many Christians today who love God with their heart and soul, but they've got to enter that world of the mind with the challenges before us.
Yeah, thanks for that question, because I do think it is a great, great question. You know, we have access to so much information now, a lot of it not very factual. Mm-hmm. And we're bombarded by information, but not necessarily wisdom. And I think one of the things that a Christian university provides the opportunity to do is to come and test some of those things. I've never believed that it was wise to ask anybody to not engage their mind. I'm a big fan of something that Albert Outler called the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. You probably would expect a Nazarene to talk about this maybe, but you know, the Wesleyan Quadrilateral, which John Wesley really didn't have anything to do with in terms of naming it, but it was a part of his belief system, was reason, experience, scripture, and tradition. Mm-hmm. And the reason is the mind part of that. And so, again, I think about HBU and I think about classes that I took in other disciplines besides, you know, my two major disciplines, psychology courses, courses that helped me be able to hear different perspectives and to engage in debate and talk about some of those difficult issues. I believe the more research we do and the more we know, at least for me personally, the more convinced I am that Jesus is who he said he was and that he is more than just a historical figure, but he is the savior of the world. I'm just so grateful that HBU provided a place where my mind could be filled, my mind could be challenged. And I didn't always agree even with what I heard, but it was the opportunity to dialogue and be in conversation, discussion about the big issues of the day.
You know, Scott Galloway is the marketing guy at NYU, and he's been very critical of big tech, wrote about the big five, Alphabet, Google, Facebook. And the reality is that tragically, kind of borrowing from what you said, kids Google stuff nowadays, and the paradigm of Google and the definition of Google is as changing as anything in the world. You can't even get a job at Google unless you subscribe to a certain set of values that are pretty foreign to those of us who embrace the Judeo-Christian ethic. The critical thinking skills that are necessary and Christian critical thinking skills that you've embraced as a leader at Southern Nazarene University, we certainly have under Dr. Sloan's leadership at HBU, they can mean the difference to a student of a fulfilled life and a frustrated one. How do you keep your leaders focused on that mission as we attempt to do here on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis?
You know, one of the things that I do starts with kind of making sure that I stay focused on that. So I try and teach at least a couple of classes a year. The class that I teach on the undergraduate side is New Testament. And the class that I teach on the graduate level is in our doctoral program, and it's servant leadership. And, you know, to borrow Stephen Covey's idea of beginning with the end in mind, what I want from the New Testament course is for students to fall in love with Scripture, because I believe that you're right. One of the challenges that we face is there is so much biblical illiteracy. And I want students at the end of that course to hopefully fall in love with Scripture and recognize that Scripture has the power to do just what Scripture says it has the power to do, just to change our lives. And I want them to know that, you know, journaling, writing prayers to the Lord are just powerful parts of being able to navigate, again, a diverse and ever-changing society. I love to talk about grace and truth. I think that's what Jesus was all about. The Gospel of John chapter 1 tells us that. I want us to make sure that we're extending grace to everybody, but we're standing for truth. And that's the most important thing for our faculty. And I'm sure it is at HBU too as well. We it's a given that they're competent in whatever their field is. What I want to make sure is that by the end of the course, those students know that man or that woman that stood in front of me loves Jesus more than anything and has applied scriptural principles to the way that they lead, to the way that they love, to the way that they teach.
You've been anchored at Houston historically. And, you know, Dr. Sloan often says that the opportunity or the possibilities of HBU in the city of Houston are a great opportunity because this is such a dynamic city. I often tell people who are not from here, it's probably not one of the prettiest cities you've ever been, but it has some of the most beautiful people you've ever met. And Hurricane Harvey or the recent ice storm or whatever, I just have never met people quite like Houston. In reflecting of, you have such a rich experience in Houston, pastoring First Nazarene, helping co-found the Houston Christian School, which is such a dynamic Christian school here in Houston for students. What's your takeaway about Houston itself and the opportunity HBU does have in what is knocking on the third largest city in America?
Yeah, well, you know, I moved to Houston in 1968, so a long time ago. It was probably about the size that Oklahoma City is where I live now, about 1 million people then. So to see what has happened there is just phenomenal. You know, it's a city that, you know, I would use two D words. It's a dynamic city, but it's a diverse city. And so I think the opportunities there are unlimited. There is a chance, the chance there to provide that strong Christian foundation for individuals that in some cases are looking for that. And in other cases, they sign up maybe for an online course, or they come to campus for a concert or whatever it might be. They might even say that it's accidental, but years later we'll see that that it was providential. So I'm thankful for the salt and light that that HBU provides. I really do believe it is a higher education. A few years ago, I think HBU had the Houston's Blessed University. I believe they have been, and I believe as long as the mission stays strong, that Jesus is the true north, they will continue to be.
You know, just final question. I mean, we have been in an era where, and I'm sure this is conspicuous of any decade, but where we see Christian leader after Christian leader tragically who falls, and they don't become long haulers in maintaining their faith. You know, you spoke about John Wesley. It's just unbelievable when you look at the incredible record of that man, the miles in the saddlebag, the thousands of sermons, and, you know, literally turned England upside down, as we both know. Can you just speak and minister to the people that are watching about how to keep on keeping on, how to stay focused and faithful, so that we don't end up like Paul so feared, being a castaway or disqualified?
Well, I think the darker things get, the more impact light has. And I think that is a privilege. We talked about this earlier, but recognizing, first of all, that I've been called to this particular place at this particular time. And then to have the discipline, you know, the word disciple is probably a word that that doesn't get used much, or if it does get used, it's really misunderstood. But I don't think you can be a disciple without being disciplined. Mm-hmm. So I think it is, you know, praying, you know, continually, not being anxious about anything, spending time in God's word. You talked about John Wesley. Let me talk about another John that I know is a big name there at HBU, and he's in heaven now. I'm confident of that. He had such an impact on my life, and that's John Bisogno. You know, John Bisogno was pastor at Houston's First Baptist Church for 30 years, I believe. Oh, I wish we had time to tell you the story about even how we became friends, but he was a guy that just loved me and gave me opportunities that I never would have dreamed that I would have had, including preaching Christmas Eve services at First Baptist, and then going back and preaching. You know, this is this Nazarene boy preaching his weekend services when he was on vacation. And that's just like unheard of. But again, you know, he told me a story one time when I was going through a challenging time in my life, trying to figure out what I was going to do. And I won't go through the whole story, but I'll give you the punchline of the story. He was just talking about an opportunity that he had. And as he prayed about the opportunity, he said, I came to realize, Keith, that I had the ego for the job, but I didn't have the passion for the job. And Dr. Johnson, I would just say to you and to all of the listeners out there, when you pursue whatever God's calling is on your life, make sure that you have both and that they're in alignment. Most of the jobs out there, especially the big jobs, they require some ego, because you got to have some thick skin, and you got to be willing to take people to take shots, you know, at you and keeping on. But make sure you're passionate about what you're doing. And if you don't have the passion, then keep looking until you find that opportunity that you can be passionate about.
Such wise words. Thank you so much. Dr. Keith Newman, he graduated from HBU in 1986, history and Christianity major, and went on to an entire lifetime of service. Now president at Southern Nazarene University in Bethany, Oklahoma, one of the great Christian universities. Will you just say a word about your recently released book, Live Last, Mark 9:35, an interesting title?
Yeah, you know, that came out of my arrival here and trying to understand the university. One of the things that I kept hearing over and over again is that this is a university that's been around for 122 years, and we have produced, I think, a lot of people that have gone out to serve. Mark 9:35 are the words of Jesus. Most people know them, maybe not most people, but a lot of people know them well. Jesus is talking to his disciples who have been traveling with him, and they've been in a bit of an argument about who's the greatest. And he asked the question, what were you arguing about on the road? And it gets really, really quiet. And he says, if you're going to be first, you need to be last. You need to choose to be the servant of all. And so live last is a bit of a philosophy based on the words of Jesus. And it really is a message that I think works. I'll say this as a last thing. I believe that whether you're talking about the year 50 BC or 50 AD or 1850 or 1950 or 2050, people that serve other people always stand out because it's countercultural. Mm-hmm. And if you really want to have an impact in your home, in your church, in your community, in government, in the marketplace, wherever God puts you, look for ways. It always will provide an opportunity for you to be a blessing, and I believe ultimately to be blessed as well. So live last.
That is so true. Dr. Keith Newman, we're so grateful to you for joining us today. HBU has a home for you. You can learn more at hbu.edu/admissions or call 281-649-3211. And our graduate school, if COVID's proved anything, Chronicle of Higher Ed tells us there's 22 million people that are looking for master's degrees. Our graduate school has a unique array, 281-649-3269. And we are so grateful for the forefathers who've stood in the what was then 400 acres of ground. The Southwest Freeway didn't even really reach to where the current location of HBU is, and they gave sacrificially. Dr. Newman and I both know that every time God does a work, he sends those special angels that give sacrificially to make the work happen. You can do that online at hbuonline.com or 855-428-1960. Dr. Newman, thank you so much for being with us today. Our very best to you, your colleagues, to the mission of Southern Nazarene University. It's just a real privilege. I mean, we are so proud of you and all that you're doing, and everyone on our leadership team sends their deepest regards to you and to your family.
Thank you. God bless you. God bless HBU.
Thanks, brother. Have a great day.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.